appreciate that song. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Amen. Amen. A whosoever. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I'm going to take my text. I'm going to preach a topical message this evening. I don't do that a lot, but once in a while, I feel like that's the direction the Lord wants us to go. I'm sorry, I said 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. I knew that didn't look right when I got my Bible there. 2 Corinthians 13. While you find any place, I'll mention this. I did read over the past week. There's a website, Sermon Audio, has a lot of sermons. I mean millions, probably, of sermons on there. Brother Hyatt, a lot of people. I start naming names, I leave a bunch out. But a lot of people that we know have their sermons on Sermon Audio. They have a news page that just has the headlines for news. Sometime this past week or so, Andy Stanley made the news. Andy Stanley is Charles Stanley's son. He's still in the Southern Baptist Convention, but he pastors a mega church, doesn't have the name Baptist. And they're a mega church down around the Atlanta area. But he made big headlines news saying this. He said the birth of Christ is really of no significance. Nothing significant about the birth of Christ. He said what's really significant is that he could die by his own power and raise himself from the dead. You say, well, how significant is the birth of Christ? Well, it's significant enough that we call this 2017 because of his birth. This is the year of our Lord, A.D. That's what A.D. means. Doesn't mean after death, anno domini. The year of our Lord, 2017, 2017 years ago, thereabouts, Jesus Christ was born. It changed the face of history. That birth is important. By the way, if you throw out the birth, you don't have a sinless life, and no good is the death. Amen. But thank God for the birth. I don't want to take out any part of it. Do you? I don't want to take out any part of the life of our Lord and the blessings. You start whittling out verses in the Bible. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, if it didn't matter whether or not Christ was born like he said, then what good's our birth? Amen. But he was born right. That means that because we was born wrong, we can get born again. Amen. And thank God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be saved by his grace. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, as I said, where I want to take my text this evening. And look at verse number 5. This is the verse I've been preached from numbers of times. I may have preached from it here already. I don't think that I've used it as a primary text, but I've used it in text. But I want to preach from this primary text. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves. I'm going to stop just a minute. It doesn't say the fellow beside you, behind you, in front of you. It says, examine yourself. Examine yourselves. It says plural. It means all of us do that. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. I want to zero in on one word. I want to preach on the word in. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank the Lord for another privilege we have to be in God's house.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord, help us. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Well, here we are at first of the year. It'd be good for us to give ourselves an examination. I'm glad the Lord doesn't say for you to examine me. Neither does it say for me to examine you. But it says for us to check our own self out. Amen. Paul, over and over and over again, talks about not deceiving our own selves. It's bad to be deceived by somebody, but it's worse when you deceive yourself. My son Josh was teaching Sunday school last Sunday, a week ago, there at Vision. I preached there that morning. He taught in Sunday school. He made this statement, talk about the truth. And he's talking about lying. When you tell one lie, you have to tell another to cover that up. Lies beget more lies.
And they get bigger as they go along generally. But he said somewhere along the line you forget the last lie you told. Or you forget the first lie. You forget. But he said this. He said if we're not careful, you may even forget what the truth is. Boy, there's where it's dangerous. It's when you live in a lie so much that you don't even know what the truth is. I'm afraid there's multitudes like that in our world today. Amen. But I'm thinking about this phrase, in, and I don't have a long message, just simple thoughts. Matter of fact, I just finished it up right before I came. One reason I was running as late as I was, just put the finishing touches on this. But I've got three questions that I believe in this self-examination that might help us answer, if we can answer them, and might help us in our life, particularly this year. I want to ask, first of all, the question, are you in? Are you in? Our phrase in our text says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Whether you be in the faith. In other words, that's talking about being in the body of believers. Right. In the group that we call Christians. Are you in that group? It's very easy to say, I believe. But do we really believe? Have we actually got a life? Do we have Jesus Christ living in our heart? Have we believed unto the saving of our soul? It's what the Bible talks about there. Amen. Have we truly done that? Have we just agreed to a set of facts? Have we just assented to a list of truths? Amen. You've probably heard the story. They said a man ran a tight wire across Niagara Falls and walked across that wire. I mean, it stretched up over Niagara Falls. If he'd fallen, it'd been to his death, certain death. But he walked across that wire, turned around and walked back again. And when he got to the other side, he got a wheelbarrow. And he took that wheelbarrow and he rolled it across that wire. And he came back to the other side. People were applauding. He said, how many of you believe I can do that again? People started raising their hand. And he pointed to one fellow, had his hand raised. He said, then get in the wheelbarrow. And the fellow said, like me. He said, no, sir. Amen. I believe that. Help mine unbelief. Get this fella. Amen. And but the truth was, if he really, and that's what the man was pointing out, if he really believed that he could do it again, he got in a wheelbarrow. Amen. We say we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we actually believed to the saving of our soul? As I say, do we really have Jesus living in our heart? And I'll say that it is important to be in. Amen. Look with me some verses in Romans chapter 8. You can probably quote this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There's a great statement about being in Christ, how important it is to be in Christ. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation, amen, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God there is therefore now, not just not going to be condemnation. There's no condemnation on us now that are in Christ Jesus, amen. There was a time I was living under the condemnation of God. The wrath of God, as it were, was a cloud over my head, a dark cloud over my head. I remember the day it became more than a cloud. It became a burden on my shoulder. But I remember the day when that burden was rolled away. Praise God. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Here's the verse, Brother Doug read this morning. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How important is it to be in? It'll help you whether if things have been, but old things have become new. Amen. If you're in Christ. Amen. There's no condemnation. There's new things. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Again, where Brother Doug was this morning. And when I got to looking at it, I said, I'm going to include these verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11. He read down through verse 10. And I touched on verse 11 just in my statements. But verse 11 through 13 is a great statement about what we ought to remember. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, the Bible says, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, that next word, in Christ Jesus, praise God, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. How important is it to be in? Well, if you're not in, you're still on the outside. You're still a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. You're still a foreigner to the things of God. You say, I can't understand it. No, you can't understand it because you're living on the outside. Never see it like it ought to be seen till you look at it from the inside. There are some stained glass windows that from the outside just look like a mess. But from the inside, it's a beautiful picture. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn with me there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Another great verses, set of verses and a great text of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead, see this, in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. It is comforting to know that although we miss Brother Cater this Christmas, we won't miss him ever Christmas, because one of these days we'll be back with him again. Amen. Because of the testimony and those that died, it's important whether you died in the faith, whether you died in the Lord, whether you're saved by the grace of God when that time of death came. Amen. So often, you see, they send out the news, pray for so-and-so, he just passed away. Well, it's too late to pray for him. You can pray for the family, and you should. No use praying for the dead. Amen. The time to make sure you're in is now. So we're asking the examination, are you in Christ Jesus? Once you've settled the question, are you in? Let me ask you a second question. How far are you in? How far are you in? See the phrase of our text in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 talks about being in the faith. Being in the faith. Again, talking about being in the body of true believers. Look in Psalms 84. There's a verse here. I read this and it shocked me that somebody actually translated this way. Psalm 84, great psalm. I preached from it. I know Brother Hall's preached from it here before. A lot of people have a psalm about the beauty, the blessedness of the house of God. It's one of the psalms written to the sons of Korah. And verse number 10, that phrase, and by the way, it was used in Brother Cater's funeral, but Psalm 84:10, it says, For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. Here's what the psalmist was actually saying. He said, if I couldn't serve at the table, if I couldn't serve at the altar, if I couldn't sing up there in front of everybody, if I could just stand there and hold the door and let others in and be a blessing to others, it'd be a blessing to me. Amen. But I read, I read where one commentator said that what that actually meant was if I could just get in the door. If I could just get in the door. Now, I think that's lacking a little something, to be honest with you. I don't believe that the Spirit of God that moves in us would be satisfied with just getting in the door. Amen. Matter of fact, I can show you all through the Bible time and time again where we need to move on. I mean, this thing about being saved, thank God you're in, but you don't need to stay there as a baby all your life. Amen. You don't need just to hang around that baby in the manger. There's got to be more to this thing. Amen. Amen. And so we need to move on, get a little closer. You've probably heard this story. I read it. I've heard it. Other preachers use it. This little girl, her mama had told her it's time to go to bed. She went to bed. Mother's downstairs sewing, and she hears a thump. And she goes back in and finds the little girl laying in the floor. She says to her, she said, "Darling, what happened?" She said, I rolled out of bed, Mama. I fell out of bed. And her mama said, "What do you think caused that?" She said, "I guess I fell asleep too close where I got in at." Well, sometimes people get saved, they get in, and they just fall asleep. And they don't grow in the Lord. They don't move on and get on in and get the things that they should. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. You don't have to turn, I'll read it. He says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on." That's a phrase that I underline. "Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." In other words, what all that Hebrews up to that point, chapter number 6, they'd been laying the foundation that Christ was the only salvation. But he said we need to build on that foundation. Don't just hang around the foundation. Amen. Thank God for the Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm glad it's here. But wouldn't it have been something if we all met in here and all we had was just the foundations? And we're just excited that we had the foundation laid, but all these years they'd never built any walls. Had no roof over it. It'd have been pitiful. People passing by would have said, "What in the world is going on with that crowd? They're crazier than I thought they were." Amen. Because the foundation's important, by the way. You need it. But you need to build on it. You need to build on it. Back in Ephesians chapter number 3, if you want to look there with me. Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 14 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted," I underline that, "rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend." You know what the word comprehend means? It means reach out and pull in. "That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen. Paul saying this, Paul said you're rooted and grounded. Thank God you are. But he said you ought to reach out and you ought to plumb the depths of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ought to climb the heights of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ought to see how wide and how broad is the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Again, another set of scriptures that's probably familiar, but very, very relevant to the new year. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Look at this. "That I may know him." Paul knew him. But he said, "I want to know him more. I want to know him more. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I underline that phrase, that I may know Him. And I underline that phrase, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul talks about pressing towards the mark of the high calling. You know what he said? He said, now that you know you're in, how far are you in?
Amen.
Once you've settled those two questions, let me ask you the third one. Are you attempting to bring anybody else in? Are you in? How far are you in? And are you attempting to bring others in? Frances Havergal wrote several great poems that they made songs. You know, she was the English Fanny Crosby. They called each other Aunt Fanny. They sent it back and forth. And they were, you know, they were friends as far as writing, but Fanny Crosby wrote a lot of great songs, bunches of great songs, and so did Frances Havergal. Frances Havergal was an invalid, died early, had a lot of problems in her body, but she said this is one statement that she said. I want to read it to you, a poem. She said, "Oh, strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in Thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers in life's troubled sea." Amen. Here's what she said. "I'm standing on the rock and I'm firm, but there's others about to go under, and I'd like to reach out to them. I'd like to pull them in. I'd like to show them the way to safety like I've found." Amen. That ought to be our heart's prayer. Can I say this? And I'm almost done. You just bear with me. And listen, somebody pointed you to Christ.
Right.
Are you pointing anybody to Christ? Somebody invited you to church. Somebody prayed for you. Amen. Somebody loved your soul. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody may have wept over your sins and your straying. Are you weeping? Are you witnessing? Are you reaching out? What are we doing for others? One last scripture, Matthew chapter 27. Our Lord's hanging on the cross. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 41 and 42. They've gone by reviling Him, wagging their heads, mocking Him. Verse 41, they said, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him.'" I want to pick out three words. I want you to underline these three words and mark them in your mind. He saved others. I'm glad I'm one of them others. Woo! I'm glad I'm one of those others. 2017, He can still save others. Sometimes we think, well, I got in, there's no hope for anybody else. Listen, if there's a way for you to get in, there's a way for somebody else to get in. Amen. I'm glad He's still in the process. He's still in the business of saving others. Our job is examine yourself. Are you in? If you're in, how far are you in? And what are we doing? I know we can't put them in, but we can invite them in. We can point them to the way in. Amen. We can pray, weep, beg and witness. What are we doing to get others in? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as we have a word of prayer. Then you can look forward. We'll sing together after that. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank You for touching me, though I don't feel good this evening. It seems like it's gotten worse just even since I've come to church, but I feel better right now, and I thank You for it. I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that strengthens and reminded me, Lord, that You saved others. You didn't save yourself so that You could save others. We couldn't save ourselves. Thank God You saved us by Your grace. And I'm glad, as the song the lady sang there earlier, I'm glad I found out You could bring me out. But I'm glad I found out You could put me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You'd help us. We examine ourselves this evening. Lord, help us to do it this year long, not to forget. Help us, Lord, not to forget. If we're in, we need to go further in. And we need to be reaching out to others that are not in. Lord, I pray, move in the invitation according to Thy will. Have Your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we stand and sing, if the Lord spoke to you and you need to come, you obey the Lord.